Hello, you gorgeous teacher. If you are one of my lovely regular listeners, hello, welcome back. If you're a new listener, you're most welcome. Maybe you've seen the name Harry Walters and you know him from LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and you're intrigued. Lovely to have you. Hope you stick around. Bit of housekeeping, just the usual stuff, really. I've got some freebies. There's a reflection lesson plan you can download, and there's also a few tips on how to add positivity into your classroom. Check out the show notes for that. Keep an eye out on my social media as well. I've started doing regular LinkedIn lives, having great fun there. But the whole idea of them isn't just so I can talk at you for 20 minutes. It's so that we can support each other and you can give your ideas and suggestions as well. So keep your eye out. Like I said, if you see an ad or a post for an IG live, come and join me and let's have a chat. All right, let's get on with the show. Welcome to Everything EFL Podcast. My name's Erin O'Byrne, and I absolutely love sharing my knowledge with you, my darling teacher, and helping you build not only community, but your students' confidence. I truly believe that a positive frame of mind is essential for your students to learn. There's also a bunch of other teachy stuff thrown in for good measure too. Are you ready? Let's go! Okay, so a while back, I featured on a show called...
Teachers Talk Radio.
Every...
Wednesday.
At...
6 o'clock.
On...
Teachers Talk Radio.
Podbean? I was going for Podbean.
Oh, okay, Podbean.
Podbean. Hosted by...
Harry Walters.
Which is you. And we had a game of sort of lexical ping pong where we came up with some nice grammatical chunks that would be nice for warmers or little activities. Welcome, Harry Walters.
Hello.
This is like my most roundabout introduction ever. If you want to know who Harry Walters really is and get the long full rundown, go back to episode 58 where I invited him on to talk about incorporating sustainability into your lessons, because that's like your thing, isn't it? But for today, we're going to get the 30-second nutshell version, and your time starts now.
Hi, I'm Harry. I've got a beard. I also am the founder of Renewable English, which is an online climate change awareness course. So check us out there. Anything else you need to know, you can probably find out because I'm all over social media. And tomorrow I'll probably be in your cornflakes.
Thank you. Lovely. I think that was less than 30 seconds. Well done. Brilliant. All right.
I think that was more than enough.
Yeah, for the moment. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's crack on. So, Harry Walters, why is it important to focus on chunks of language, grammatical chunks of language? And can you give me an example of one?
Oh, yes, I think it's very important to focus on chunks because it's easiest to learn in chunks, you know, to learn in small groups of words. I remember a little while back, about 10 years, I got massively obsessed with collocations. Mm. And that kind of led me down this path of just realizing that it's how we speak. We speak in chunks. We don't speak in individual words. And you know, trying to find a way of, oh, you have to use that word and then that goes with that other word. But when you put it all together, you can kind of see patterns emerge, but you can also just get used to using these wonderful phrases.
Mm. Where's your example?
Oh, I forgot to give you an example, didn't I? I often like look at as soon as. I really like that as a little lexical chunk. It's really nice. And as long as and things like that, they're really nice because we use those quite often.
Yes, the classic first condish. All right. So shall we crack on with this little game of lexical ping pong? So, yeah, we're basically just going to repeat what we did on your radio show. I wrote all mine down. I don't know if you did. So this should be this could go one way or the other.
It could go both ways.
It could. You can start, although I think I know what you're going to say.
Why would you like me to start? I'd like you to start.
Okay.
It's nicer if you start.
All right,
you're
ladies first. Ladies
first.
All right. Okay, then I'm going to steal your chunk. Would you rather?
Oh, I knew you would. I knew you would. would you rather? That's one of my favorites.
Do you want to give me some examples of how you would use that in class?
Of course. I actually use this with all levels. You know, from kids all the way up to adults. And you can do it in a simple way with kids with what activity you want to do next. Would you rather do some colouring in or would you or play, you know? However, I think it's more fun when students are a bit older to have like a game about it, you know, and get them to come up with different things that they would rather do and get them obviously using these chunks in class. So would you rather, and always focusing on that pron, like not would you rather, it's would you rather. So getting that pron in there as well. And getting them to come up with whatever ideas they can. You know, I put this in a talk I did recently, and I used all real examples that students had come up with. My favourite one of all, would you rather eat a cake that tasted of poop or a poop that tasted of cake?
Oh, I think I'd have to go with the poop that tasted of cake, to be honest.
But then everybody would know that you'd eaten poop.
Yeah, but this is true. Anyway, moving on. Okay, why don't you give me a grammatical chunk that you like?
A grammatical chunk that I like. Could we go with as soon as?
Tell me more.
Okay, I like to use as soon as because it's something that I always use with my students, again. When they're pestering to do something, or perhaps they're a little bit bored, I like to tell them that we can do it as soon as you've finished or as soon as we're done with this task. So I like to then get them to decide when I say, okay, everybody, can we move on to the next task? I like to get them to say to me, oh, Harry, we can move on as soon as I've done this, but also get them to mix it up and say things that are perhaps a little bit ridiculous, you know. Yeah, of course, we can move on to the next task as soon as your dog learns to fly, or as soon as. So just getting them to, again, trying to make these things as ridiculous as possible. I think it's super important, particularly with kids and teens as well, to make it stick by making it mildly funny. And it's the same with as long as. You know, again, it's a way of like making a deal, you know. We'll move on to the next subject as long as you've finished your work.
I love it. And it's such a useful little chunk as well. Such a useful little chunk. Okay. So I've got one and I've kind of changed it for levels. So you could have, I've been thinking about doing something. But for higher levels, you could give them, I've been toying with the idea of doing something.
Oh, look at that.
Do you like that?
Ooh, that's brilliant. I'd been toying with the idea of getting a mannequin.
And for what?
Today, a mannequin.
Yeah, for what?
It's actually for a project that my wife's doing with photography. And we've ended toying with the idea. And we now have a secondhand mannequin from a shop that was closing down.
Excellent. I have two mannequins, actually. My husband collects football T-shirts and we have a male mannequin and a female mannequin. So he puts them on, takes photos of them.
That's
who knew?
Awesome. Yes. That's awesome. I used to collect football shirts as well when I was a wee lad. but yeah, that's cool.
Mm.
All Does right. he like all the teams?
Well, he collects them to sell them.
Oh, okay. Well, hence the mannequins.
Yes, exactly.
But then you can take a photo of them looking, you know. Yeah. That's cool.
We're totally going to cut this bit. Okay. your turn.
If I were you.
Oh, yes.
I get very hung up on obsessing over grammar. I get very hung up on this idea of, you know, you go in with this prescribed idea and you write it out on the board. This is the structure. Like somehow that will help people connect it and make it real, because it's not going to. So, no. You know, if I were you, it's obviously, you know, we're talking second conditional here. But you don't need to go in and say this is second conditional. This is just a way of giving somebody some advice, you know. So if I were you, I'd, again, not focusing on I would,
nope.
Because nobody says that. If I were you, I would do this. If I were you, I'd, and then you give them some advice and ask them to give their fellow students advice. This is for, you know, slightly higher levels. It's not as easy to do with kids. I have tried it with kids before. It didn't work particularly well. Just the whole concept of even giving advice wasn't particularly great. But it did work out for kind of 12 and then all the way up to adults. But yeah, if I were you, as opposed to just going in there with the second conditional. So
which,
if I were
yeah.
you, I wouldn't teach a second conditional with a structure.
Exactly. It's too complicated. They never get it. I'm still amazed at the amount of higher level students who don't use contractions because they it amazes me. Okay. My next one is, it's the blankiest blank I've ever blanked. So it's the best movie I've ever seen, or it's the most beautiful place I've ever been to. Because that can, like, you know, you can have a nice little speaking activity. They can describe something, an experience, a place, a movie, and then they can finish with that lovely present perfect superlative. So you're getting two for the price of one here.
That is a bonus.
Mm.
That's awesome. I like to go with, instead of like, have you ever? So we often have you ever? Mm. You know, it's a great one. It's fun to use as well. It's a great one for games. Have you ever been to Saint-Tropez, for example, is a question none of your students would ever come up with. But instead of that, I like to go with, I don't know if you've ever.
Ooh.
So I don't know if you've ever been to Saint-Tropez. Why am I thinking so much of Saint-Tropez?
Maybe you need a break.
Maybe. I think I always need a break, to be honest.
Mm, tell me about it.
So, yeah, it's a nice way of using, you know, the present perfect, but not just the same have you ever, which is also useful.
But isn't there something else that comes, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever eaten sushi, but this restaurant's really nice.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, you can also add the advice afterwards. It's a fantastic way of making sure, again, it's extending your chunk, as it were. So
yes.
Rather than, it's a great thing to start with, you know, that I don't know if you've ever, but then it's really good to add on something at the end. And when we do that, when we work with these chunks, we can build language so easily.
Mm.
Whereas if you just go in there with, have you ever been to Saint-Tropez? Have you ever eaten snails? You're not going to have anything after that. It's a simple mm. question, you know, rather than enabling somebody to do that and give the advice.
Mm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, let's have a look. I quite like, for slightly higher levels, the use of the auxiliary do. So something like, I don't blah, 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 but I do think blah, blah, blah. So you've got like the negative and the positive, and you're emphasizing the positive with the do. Like, I don't like action movies, but I do love Chris Hemsworth, for example.
Well, who doesn't?
Oh.
I'd watch any action movie if it had Chris Hemsworth in it, to be honest. He's so dreamy.
Do you know what? Even Chris Hemsworth wouldn't make me watch an action movie, I have to say.
No?
No, not my thing at all. Not my thing.
Oh. I'll be honest, I'm not particularly fussed about action movies, but as I say, if Chris Hemsworth is in it, I'd be watching it in a second.
Good to know. All right, I think it's your turn.
I really like, now it's not particularly a grammar focused one, but why don't we? Just a way of giving advice, because it's one that's often suggested that you might use, particularly if you're doing a B1 or a B2 exam. You know, why don't we? But again, ways of giving advice. I really like this. Again, the kind of, like with the previous one, it's almost you're using a negative in there, aren't you? Why don't we go to the shops? Why don't we play tennis? I really love using this in class with my students rather than just, you know, coming up with an idea saying, you know, let's play tennis, let's do this.
Yeah.
Why don't we? It also has that lovely sound to it, the wuh sounds in there. Why don't we eat some snails?
To which I would say, no, thank you.
They're not the best thing in the world. I think it's a good thing going vegan is the excuse that you don't have to eat snails anymore.
Yeah, I'm vegetarian, so that wouldn't work for me. No, I really like that. Why don't we? And then you don't have like, because some of those suggestion things like try, blah, 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 you need the ing and that always causes problems. But why don't we plus infinitive, done. Nice and simple. Yeah, love it. Okay. I like, are you looking forward to it?
Ooh.
Yeah. Or, you know, are you looking forward to the weekend? Are you looking forward to your birthday? Or the positive, I'm really looking forward to something. I think that's a really nice little chunk. The present continuous with looking forward.
It's something we use all the time as well. I didn't realize quite how much I used it until I was writing emails to people, you know, about meeting up with them. And, you know, I'd start the email, I'm really looking forward to meeting up. And at the end, I'd say, looking forward to meeting you. And it's like, hang on a minute. Can't say that twice, but it's something we use all the time. We use it all the time. And you can't teach that in individual words. You need to have the whole chunk, you know, it needs to all be there. What about would you like?
Mm.
So we've got would you rather, obviously, but would you like, instead of do you want? I think it's nice, would you like? It's a much more polite way of approaching things. And if anyone was ever able to get into Britain, then maybe it's a nice way to approach asking for things when you're there. Would you like a cookie or would you like to go to the cinema rather than do you want? Which, again, it's not an issue. And it's good to have the option of both of them and to show the kind of the meaning between the two. It seems like a nice way of doing it.
And you also have that pronunciation of would you again, which I love, which is great. Love it. Okay. I like something like it was or it is so something followed by something else. Like I have a mug and it says on it, I'm so awesome, I poop rainbows.
There you go.
And it's actually, I've done a little exercise in class actually before where I get students to begin with, I'm so awesome. And then they have to tell me why they're so awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And even just like going in there with two blanks, you know, I'm so blank, I blank. you know, with that blankety blank approach. Yeah. You know, it's a nice way of getting them to do it. And you can even get them to sort of design their own mug kind of thing.
Ooh, yes.
You could take your mug in there and you could, you know, you could drop it on the table and show them and get them to look at it and think, oh, that's cool. You are awesome. I can't attest to your rainbow poopery. However, what am I? Okay, so I'm so awesome. I
have an amazing beard. I can only think
of bodily functions now.
Okay.
I was just thinking burp and fart, which not, you know, I sneeze, cacti.
Okay. Ow. Oh, I'm so awesome. And I'm pretending I'm you here. My beard shoots flames to demonstrate its mightiness or something like that.
Exactly. Know? Exactly.
Yeah. Or you could say my beard is so awesome. It shoots flames, you know. Exactly. So many options. Many options. All right.
I'm so adjective, I verb nouns, I believe, was the thing we talked about.
That should be on a mug. That would be amazing.
It's on a mug.
Is it?
The mug. Yeah.
Oh, it was shut up. To me
about, many a year ago. It was bought for me for a Secret Santa.
Love it.
And yeah, it was really cool. And so that again is a great mug to have in the class to just work with that kind of chunk.
I need to get me one of those. Go on.
You know, what's the best you've ever seen, or what's the best you've ever been to? And that way they can kind of fill in the gaps there. So what's the best food you've ever eaten? What's the best film you've ever seen? What's the best hat you've ever worn?
Yep.
It's a common question.
Absolutely. It kind of an extension of it was the blankiest blank I've ever blanked. Yeah. But I think it is really nice in a question. Definitely. Love that. And I can imagine the students would come up with some great questions as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're kind of these, it's like with the other ones, you know, the, I don't know if you've ever, again, it really leaves that creativity to the students, and it gives them the chance to fill it in, to fill that blank with just a couple of words, but then they've got this whole phrase, and it's a really nice phrase that you hear all the time in English. You hear all the time. I'm often asking people what's the best series they've ever seen, or
RuPaul's Drag Race is the obvious answer to that.
Okay, well, you know, what about Stranger Things?
Not loving it. I mean, the first two episodes, the first two series was nice and dark. Third one was rubbish. Fourth one, it's not bad. It's not bad. We're in about episode four at the moment.
Oh, wouldn't I'm a be. Big fan.
Yeah.
Which is another great chunk to use.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of. Absolutely. All right, let's just finish off with one more. Let's have a look. Again, going back to that auxiliary do, I do love a cuppa, or I do love just emphasizing something that you love doing or dislike it. But I do like that. See, I just did it. I do like using it with I do love blah, blah, blah. I think it's a really nice little chunk, and it shows
it's
you
great that, for emphasis. It's
yeah.
So good for emphasis. And it is, again, you know, a very kind of British thing to do. It definitely is. It's the type of thing that I can literally hear my family say it right now, you know. I think it's probably because you said I do love a cuppa, you know. It just, you know, that's my mum right there. She loves a cuppa. But yeah, that emphasis on do, it's really important. I actually saw a really nice post the other day on LinkedIn about the word very, and how it's used in other ways and other terms. This is for a different talk, obviously, because it is just the one word. But yeah, I can't remember who posted it. Sean Hutchison, I think. It's worth checking out the different uses of very.
Yeah, I think I scrolled down and didn't have time to look, but I think, and I know him as well. I think he started listening to the podcast, which is nice. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Okay, thank you. I think that'll do for now, Harry. Thank you so much for your time. By the way, guys, if you want to know a little bit more about grammatical lexis, have a listen to episode 61, where I delve a little bit deeper. And just to remind you that episode 58 is the other one that I've done with Harry. So check that one out as well. He's got loads of nice ideas for you there. Where can people find you, Harry Walters?
What people can find me, Renewable English on Instagram. I'm Harry Walters on LinkedIn. You can also find Renewable English there, and Facebook. And I'm Renewable English on Twitter, which, if you want to see kind of more of the nonsense that's just kind of splurging out of my brain, it comes mostly on Twitter. So yeah, there.
Okay, well, thank you so much again, Harry, and have a lovely evening, and we will speak soon, no doubt.
I certainly hope so. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening, and have a lovely, safe, peaceful week, and share the love. Bye.